Okay. So, we'll see how much we can cover over here. We're going to try to review basically everything that we've learned over the past the past five shiurim. I'm going to focus as much as possible on actual examples, so please feel free to, you know, ask specific cases. It will, you know, make it more, we'll be able to clarify things much more than that. It was a limit how much my imagination could come up with. I tried, but you know, so the more things you can think of, the more exotic, the better. Okay, so the first two shiurim we discussed the halachas of Ikra and Tafel. So let's just go over very quickly what the basic concepts were, the basic rule of thumb, and then we'll, you know, try to apply it. So the first, the three levels that you always have to apply, the three factors that you always have to keep in mind whenever you're deciding what the halacha of an ikar and tafel should be, what bracha you should make of the two possible brachas, or three or four possible brachas that you can have in a mixture, or in a salad, or in a soup, etc., etc. So you have to go, it goes in the following orders. First, you have to determine purpose. You have to determine, what is the purpose of the two things here? Is one serving the other one? Is one enhancing the other one? Is one, you know, just an added ingredient as a spice or as a flavoring, but not the main food? So purpose always goes first. First, you have to determine what's the main purpose over here. And, you know, a classic example would be a salad and a salad dressing, where the salad dressing is clearly an enhancer, and it's only, you know, for flavor, and therefore that defines it immediately as a tafel, so that wouldn't be a question. The second step after that, we need to say, if purpose is not clear, and one isn't more important than the other one, but yet at the same time, it is one combined food, so then you have to see which one is the majority. If there is a clear majority, then you make the bracha of the majority. The majority is the one that is going to be the ikar. Now, when we learned this the first time, we were really discussing foods as far as, you know, like mixtures, you know, salads, soups, etc. Really, this really applies to ingredients as well. Like, if you're looking at a cereal box, and you're trying to figure out what the bracha of a particular cereal is, and assuming that there's no mezainis ingredient, right? So it's a question of corn flour, sugar, so on and so forth. So assuming that the first one on the ingredient list is usually the largest amount, if that's the way it works, so then the first ingredient will be the majority, so you that would be the bracha. I mean, it technically... the majority in ikar v'tafel really means the majority of the whole mixture, which means more than 50%. On a cereal box, it could say corn flour, this, that, and the next thing. Corn flour being the largest of all the ingredients, but it could only be 20% of the whole mixture. But generally, you'll know. You could figure out. You know, you know what you're looking at. You know whether it's mostly sugar and corn syrup or or something else, you know, so then they can figure out the bracha. So anyway, majority, what I'm trying to, is going to be the second thing you always have to see. If purpose is not clear, then majority is the one that takes over, and you see what's the majority of this particular salad, what's the majority of this particular food, and that will be the bracha that you will make. And lastly, what you always have to consider, and this is in conjunction with the first two, is whether there is a grain ingredient, meaning one of the chameshes aminim, that would be wheat, barley, spelt, rye, oats, not rice. Rice doesn't have that chashivas. Rice isn't included in this. But if it has any one of those five, you know, of the chameshes aminim, then neither of the previous two rules apply, and that means two things. Number one, a wheat ingredient can be the ikar regardless of purpose and regardless of majority, meaning to say it could be the minority, it can be a minority ingredient, it can be the minority in a salad, and yet still be considered the ikar. And likewise, it secondly has another aspect that it prevents itself from becoming a tafel, where even if it for whatever reason will not be considered the ikar, which we'll explain in a second, it also has another added component that it prevents itself from becoming a tafel. So in almost all cases, we'll discuss, there's a couple of exceptions, but in almost all cases, you will always have to make a mezainis. Either you will only make a mezainis, because the mezainis is the ikar, or at the very least, you'll make two brachas. You'll make also a mezainis. Now, so to clarify, generally the way we'll see as we go through the cases, in most cases, like in a salad or in a soup and stuff like that, the mezonos won't be the ikar and take over the whole thing. Because, we had some examples of salads like that, but for most cases, the mezonos you throw into a salad, like croutons or chow mein noodles and stuff like that, can't be considered the ikar, because the ikar, it does have to follow some sort of semblance of sense. In other words, you can't have something like a crouton, which is so clearly the side, not the main part of this salad, taking over the salad and to be considered the ikar. So it does have to follow some sort of a logic. So a mezonos, if it goes against all logic to say that this is the main thing of this salad, the couple of croutons you threw in there, it's not going to be the ikar. And in generally, in these type of mixtures, croutons in the soup, a couple of barleys in the soup, not a lot, there's a few barleys, any of those situations where the mezonos is very clearly not going to be the ikar, so then the rule B applies, which is it prevents itself from becoming a tafel, so you'll have to make a mezonos in addition to whatever other bracha you'll make. Where it ends up being more relevant is when it's an ingredient. Right, where meaning to say, like, in a cereal or in any type of dish where you have a mezonos ingredient mixed in, flour, or you have oats or any one of these mezonos ingredients mixed in, that's where usually it plays a bigger role. That even though the mezonos ingredient is a minority, or the mezonos ingredient is necessarily the main purpose of this dish, if it's an ingredient, it will almost always take over and make the whole thing into a mezonos. It's in the form of an ingredient where it's the most relevant. Like, for example, you have cakes that have 2 tablespoons of flour, and they'll be a mezonos, even though, it's vastly outnumbered by the margarine, sugar, cocoa, whatever else you put in there, but even though it's only 2 tablespoons of flour, yet the cake is still a mezonos. When it comes to cookies, you mix in oatmeal into those cookies, right? There could be also, the majority is not going to be oatmeal. Well, usually it's flour anyway, so it's mezonos regardless, but in any case, things like that, you'll mix in oatmeal for whatever, to give it taste. the fact that it's not the majority, and even though that's not the main purpose, in those cases, almost always the mezonos will trump. And in cases of mixtures, like salads, soups, and so on and so forth, all the cases I could think of, at least, is usually just that the mezonos doesn't become a tafel, but rarely the mezonos takes over the whole thing, except in cases where it logically does, like a salad of farfel, or couscous or something like that. So there, it's like obvious that the main component is the mezonos anyway, so that'll be the only bracha you will make. So again, to clarify, the ikar v'tafel works. Purpose, number one. First you figure out what's the purpose over here. Which one is serving the other one? Is it a spread? Is it an enhancer? Is it a flavoring? Is it a spice? All those are going to be a tafel. Next, you don't have that. They're equal. Majority. Which one is the majority? And lastly, after that, then you see if there's a grain ingredient involved, so then at least that'll prevent itself from becoming a tafel in most cases. Most cases, you'll have to make a mezonos in addition. And if not, in a number of cases, it can take over the whole mixture, even though it's a minority, and even though that's not necessarily the main purpose. Like I was saying, in situations where it's an ingredient, it'll almost always be mezonos. So those are the rules of ikar v'tafel. So let's go through a bunch of cases now, and let's figure out each one as we go along. So let's start with the ones that are bulleted over here. Say a fruit salad. So a fruit salad is a classic case where it has different ingredients in the salad, but neither one is necessarily more important than the other one. The bananas, the pineapples, the oranges, and so on and so forth. And you can have a collection of different brachas. And over there, the purpose doesn't apply. So you'll go to rule number two, and you'll go with the majority. Whichever one is the majority will be the bracha. If Hadama is the majority, if it has more bananas and strawberries, then it'll be a Hadama. If it has more apples and oranges, it'll be Ha'etz. If it's 50-50 or indeterminable, then you'll make a Hadama because Hadama covers you. So you'll make that, then you'll make just one bracha. But you'll make a Hadama. Now,
what if there's grapes in there?
That's Shivas Aminim, you mean?
Yeah.
So that's a good question. In other words, Your question being, does grapes have a special role in ikar v'tafel? So the answer is no. Only chamesha seminim has that special qualification. Only grain Mm-hmm. Not Sheva Semina.
And Hadamah would cover the grapes?
And Hadamah will cover the grapes as well, because if you make Hadamah on grapes, you are Yotze. So if once you don't know, you just make the Hadamah. The next case is here, chow mein salad. If I remember correctly, that means like a regular salad with like stir-fried vegetables, and then you just add some of the noodles or the hard chow mein. That's right. Yeah. I haven't had in a long time. Well,
right.
That's what it would
that
be.
That one. I do a different one. I do vegetables with chow mein noodles on it.
Vegetables with chow mein noodles. Okay, any of those cases. So there also is a case where it has mezainos. The chow mein noodles are mezainos, but they cannot logically be considered the main part of the salad. They're there to give crunch, to give taste. You're not sitting down to eat chow mein noodles. It's not something you make a salad out of. It's a snack. So that's why you'll make a mezainos, because they won't be a tuffel. Because there's enough of them that they're not just, they're not just a spice. They're an actual component of the salad. You'll have to make a mezainos, but they won't become the ikar. You will make two brachas. You'll make a hadama, assuming it's vegetables, and you'll make a mezainos. The next case is when you have a salad with just about every bracha that you could possibly make. So the salad, let's say it has vegetables, and it has strips of chicken breast, which are shahakal. It has avocado, which is haetz, and it has croutons, which are mezainos. Right? So how do you figure out this mixture? So we have to divide it up amongst its components. So the croutons, we know, right? If there's a sizable amount of croutons, you're going to have to make a mezainos. If it's really just a couple of croutons, like three or four, in your plate, really just a few croutons, then they would be a tuffel. When it's like so, when it's so little, we'll see other cases. There are times that a mezainos can be so little that it's really just like a breading on a chicken, where it's like totally a tuffel. That's the exception. It does follow a logic. You can almost always apply the svara behind it, the logic behind it, that the mezainos can take over, provided you can perceive it as an ikar. If you can't perceive it as an ikar, so then if it's a component, it won't become a tuffel. You'll make your own bracha. But if it's like totally, totally, like almost like the dressing, where it's totally serving the other thing, which is like very few croutons, then the logic is that it won't have a bracha. Mezainos always is the tricky one when it comes to halachas of ikar and tuffel, because it is very subjective, more than everything else. But that's the rule of thumb. Really, you have to apply the logic behind it. Can this thing be an ikar? It'll be the ikar. If it can't be an ikar, can at least be considered a component, so then it requires its own bracha. If it can't even be considered a component, then it gets covered. So let's look again at our salad here. You have chicken strips, avocado, and croutons. So the first three ingredients, the salad part, the chicken strips, and the avocado, technically you could say, let's go with the majority. And let's see what the majority is. The majority is, let's assume it's a hadama, this most roif salad. So then just make, as far as those are concerned, we'll make a hadama. And the croutons will apply the last rule. If there's a lot of them, you make a mezainos. If there's a little, you won't. But the thing is, the chicken strips very often could be, especially if it's your supper, so then it has its own importance in the salad. In other words, even though it's a part of the salad, even though it's mixed into the salad, but you would technically eat it alone also, right? That's why it doesn't become a tuffel. I don't know if I explained this as well when we were giving this share the first time. That's the reason why we can exclude something, like when, we were talking about cereal and milk, right? We say, you make a separate bracha on the cereal and a separate bracha on the milk. The concept is because even though you put them together, you would have eaten them separate also, because you want both of them. You want the milk and you want the cereal. You want to be able to drink milk, if that's the case, and you want to be able to eat cereal. It tastes better together, so you're putting them together, but you would just as well have eaten them separately. That's the svara that we say, that when one of the parts of a salad are so important to you that you would have technically eaten it alone. The other example we gave was yogurt and banana, right? You really would have eaten those things separately. You want a banana for breakfast and you want a yogurt for breakfast. You're putting them together because they taste good together. But really, each one individually is something that you want, and you would have eaten it separately too. Whenever that's the case, that also prevents it from becoming an ikar v'tafel, because, like we explained in that share, the concept of ikar v'tafel is it's one food. Once you really want each one individually, then that whole logic doesn't apply, and it's excluded. So when you look at your your plate, right? So really, I said, you know, you follow purpose, majority, grain ingredients. Really, you have to start before that. You have to look at these things and say, am I eating them together because, you know, that's the type of food it is. It's a salad, it's one. Or they just happen to be put together. I really eat each one individually. One is chicken and one is salad. I mix them together, but they each one is serving its own important purpose over here. Each one is the main course of my supper, or of my breakfast, of my lunch. Then it's not even included in the whole discussion of ikkar v'tafel. So when it comes to the chicken strips in your salad, if the chicken strip is your protein and that's your supper, so you will have to make a separate bracha on those chicken strips. So we, in conclusion, in this case, we would say, okay, we have a salad here with chicken strips, avocado, and croutons. So for sure, one bracha we know for sure you make is hadama. That at least is clear. The chicken strips, that'll be subjective. If it's your supper, make a shahakal. And the croutons will depend. A lot of them, make them zainis. If not, do not.
What about the avocado? If you really like avocado.
Okay, so technically it could also be, you know, if you like cut in, you know, a lot of avocado, because you, yeah, it could be, it could require its own bracha, yes. It applies to anything, you know, that's just anything that you treat that way. The next case we have...
What about olives in a salad? That's always a little...
So olives, you know, it's like what Ms. Azner was asking before, shivas haminim, right? But that doesn't give it a reason that it has a more of a chashivas. If it's just part of a salad, gives it a flavor, which generally is what olives are doing, it'll be a tafel, like everything else.
But if you have the olives and avocado, then you become eight on olives and not the avocado?
That's a good question. That's a good question, because technically... You mean the olives really don't require eitz? The olives really are covered by the... But you're making eitz anyway.
You're making eitz. I don't know,
good question.
Anyway.
I don't
know. They're probably whole versus avocado, which
right,
is
right.
Maybe you just have an avocado.
But you really like the avocado better.
Right, I don't know.
I mean the olives separately.
I don't know. That's a very good question. I'm not sure. I mean, you could, you know, obviously you can do a rabbi eitzah. And just take both on your spoon, but that's always a rabbi solution. But in any case, I don't know how halachically, I'm not sure which one would be the correct one. Okay. the next case here we had was mushroom barley soup. So with mushroom barley soup, your classic mushroom barley soup would have a lot of barley in it. So once it has a large amount of barley in it, so here again the logic applies that you can see the barley as being the main component of the soup. So the barley takes over the whole soup and you just make a mezainis and that's it. No shahakal, no hadama, nothing else. Just mezainis. Sometimes, not in specifically the case of mushroom barley soup, but there are other cases when you have noodles floating in your soup, or you have barley floating in your soup, or you have those alphabets floating in your soup. All those cases, there is not such a significant amount. It's an ingredient, it's there, it's floating around, but it's not significant enough. The Mishnah Berurah actually speaks about this case, and it seems that it's even more so when it comes to soups, where generally a soup, the water is considered to be really the main component of the soup. So in order for that, the barley should take over this whole soup, there has to be a lot of it. Because it's very hard to say, take a soup and say, well, the water is the side, you know, the tafel. The main part of a soup is the water, right? So you have to have a lot of barley, like a typical mushroom barley soup that's very thick. That's when the it becomes a mezainis. But wherever it's a soup and there's stuff floating in it, once it's gotten to that point where it's, you know, the things that are floating in it, like a minestrone soup and stuff like that, the mezainis, you have to make a mezainis, but it does not take over the soup. Again, you really were just applying the same logic. You can't make a mezainis, even though it has the ability to take over, it can't take over if it can't be perceived as the main purpose over here. In cases where it's clear that it's not, like in the case of a soup, you will have to make a bracha on it, but it won't take over both brachas. What was interesting about soups is that there is some element of a suffix involved. So therefore, Mishnah Berurah said, that you reverse the normal order. Whereas you normally would make mezainis first and shahakal second, here, make shahakal first and mezainis second. It would regardless, the halacha is, even if you forgot and you made mezainis first, you can still make your shahakal. As far as ikkar v'tafel is concerned, the two brachas are required, but it's just interesting that in this case, you're supposed to flip the order. When you're eating a soup, you're supposed to make the shahakal first. So, next case. Next case is, really these three next three cases sort of go together. We have apple pie, cracker on peanut butter, and cracker on tuna. So these are all cases, even though apple pie is, it's been baked together, and the other two, you just smeared one on the other. But these are all cases where you have a mezainis element, you have a mezainis component, it's the cookie, the pie crust, you know, the crackers, or whatever else it is that you're using, and it's being used to hold something else. It's being used to hold another food. And in all these cases, unless the case of, except for the case of cat cracker and peanut butter, which really the peanut butter is just a schmear, so then you go back to really rule number one, purpose. It's not, you forget that it's a mezainis, it's like everything else. You schmear something, the thing being schmeared, if it's a thin schmear, it's just to enhance flavor, it's just to give it a taste, and it can't, the ikker would be the mezainis, but where you have the cracker and tuna, so clearly you want both, the tuna is the main part of your meal, and again, it's something you would eat individually as well, really, you're just putting it together because it tastes good together, so two brachas are going to be required. It's interesting that that really applies to apple pie too, even though there it would seem debatable. It would be somewhat more debatable. It's not exactly like cracker and tuna. You know, cracker and tuna is two parts of your lunch. You're eating the tuna and you're eating the cracker, putting them together because it tastes good, so it's excluded from ikar v'tafel. But yet, the halacha is it applies to any time when the crust, like a pie crust, it's not so substantial. So it really is, a large part of it is to just hold the pie, to hold the filling. Some people don't even eat the crust, you know, depending where you're holding on your diet or whatever. So that's what makes it that it is similar to the case of the cracker and tuna, and it would require two brachas. Now, I say apple pie, but you can go with a whole bunch of different cases over here. There's, you know, different type of crumbs and crumbles and so on and so forth.
Cheesecake
also, yeah. Same thing, cheesecake. But it gets a little confusing because you know, there's all these different levels of how much mezainis is in the cake. There's mezainis on top, mezainis on bottom, mezainis mixed in, crumbles, crunches, etc. So it's hard to answer every case. But if you use the logic, and at some point it becomes a cake more than just something with a filling, so then it'll become a mezainis, only a mezainis. But as long as it can be looked at a crust with a filling, then it's like a cracker with tuna. Once it departs from that, and it's very hard to give exact, you know, to figure it out exactly, and if it's a suffix, you find something else to make a bracha on. But, you know, which you might do anyway after we're finished over here. So, yeah, that's a, either wash or just, you know, have a brachas kit. We were going to market that at one point. You know, little containers with a raisin, peanut, and yeah, that's a school to forget halachas brachas. But in any case, so it gets a little confusing with apple pies and things like that. But again, there are many cases where it can very clearly be compared to a cracker with tuna, and then you know you have to make two brachas. Lastly, which is the interesting case, the ice cream cone, sugar cone versus a regular cone, that was where a mezainis can become a full-blown tafel. We said a case where you have just a few croutons, but here is even a case where you have something a little bit more substantial than that, and yet is a full-blown tafel, which would be the, you know, the, I don't even know what they're called, the cones that are not sugar cones, the styrofoam ones, you know. So those cones, those, clearly no one would eat that by itself, you know, and it's really only there to hold the ice cream and make it possible to eat. You would probably not even eat it. Maybe after the ice cream gets into it, it tastes good, but otherwise it's not edible. So there it's a full-blown tafel, even though it's a mezainis. And there are a few examples of that. The other example is that we spoke about fried fish, fried chicken. Even though it has a breading on it, but the breading is a tafel. You make only a shahakal, because it's cases where the mezainis component is so batel, so irrelevant to the main food, that the only bracha is a shakel. There aren't so many examples. Basically, these are the examples. One is a regular cone, ice cream with a regular cone, fried fish, fried chicken, a small amount of croutons, bread comes added to a salad, maybe, if you ever do that, things like that. There aren't that many cases that you'll have a mezainis being such a irrelevant part of a mixture. Okay.
Now, Can I ask one question?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Do you eat the cracker with peanut butter, and then after done, you decide to eat, lick the spoon or something? Do you make
peanut butter.
Popcorn?
Right. Let's start the question from the beginning. So your question, you could ask this question in two steps. In other words, what's the halacha, let's say, with cereal and milk, where the milk was a tafel, or, you know, any other tafel? And you made the bracha on the ikr, and then you finished the ikr part of it. You finished, let's say, the cereal, and now you want to drink up the milk, right? So that we had discussed, I didn't mention it now, you're right, that you do not make a bracha on the tafel, even though you're only eating the tafel now. And the reason is because the bracha on the ikr is the bracha on the tafel. It's not you didn't make a bracha on the tafel. You did make a bracha on the tafel. The bracha, the mezainis you made on the cereal, was that became the bracha on the tafel. So, but your question is, with here it's interesting because when you have peanut butter on a cracker, you're sort of limiting the tafel to the part that's smeared on the cracker. The peanut butter that's in the jar is not a tafel to your cracker. So I would think you would have to make a bracha in that case. Cereal in the bowl, with the milk in the bowl, all the milk was a tafel to your cereal. Mm-hmm. So when you made the bracha, you included it, all the milk that was there. You didn't include the milk on the bottle. If you were to pour more milk after you finished all the cereal, you would have to make a shahakal. But it's only whatever was there. Yeah, so that's a good example. Okay. So that's it for Ikra V'Tafel, unless anybody has any questions, any other cases.
I'm just thinking of my cheesecake again. I like if it has flour in the cheesecake. Does that make it more mezonos?
But that's really only to hold it together, right? Right, no. So that's
two,
you don't count
two
that.
Two brachos.
So that would be two brachos, mm-hmm. Correct. Right.
Didn't the Rav say even if there's only two tablespoons of flour in a cake, it's mezonos?
Usually in a cake, when you add flour, it's for taste. Doesn't it?
This is
just, we didn't get to that yet, but that's to hold it together. Now, hopefully we'll get to it. That was the last share. Okay.
So, I'm sorry,
yeah.
With an ice cream sandwich, you would also make two brachos? Or just
mezonos? So it would depend, sort of the same idea as the ice cream cone. In other words, sometimes the sandwich part of it, the cookie part of it, is, you know, the type that really, like, falls apart. Also, you would never eat that thing alone. It's only really to the purpose of holding the ice cream bar, then you just make a shahakal, similar to an ice cream cone. If it's a little bit more substantial, like they make them with graham cookies or things like that, you know, graham crackers, I mean, so the when the cake part of it is more substantial, then it would be two brachas. That would be the correct
bracha. And if you really only want the mezonos part, and you're just eating the ice cream cookies,
because you don't
want to
just eat off the mezonos, you mean, yeah. Then you just make a mezonos, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Likewise, we said when you lick the cream off a cake, you make a shahakal. Any such things. Okay. okay, next. Okay, so the third shir, actually, we discussed the brachas of eitz and hadama. When do you make eitz? When don't you make eitz? Okay, so the first klal, the rule, basically pretty straightforward. Fruit versus vegetable, how do we determine what's a fruit and how do we determine what's a vegetable? So the rule of thumb was, if it is like a tree, which means the tree stays and it continues from year to year and it just produces fruit from the same place, from the same branch, then it's a ha'etz, while if it dies and either it has to be replanted or even if it grows from the same root system, like strawberries and other things like that, it's a hadama. My wife just recently went to the
Brookside?
Next, it's off Kent Mill, that botanical gardens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have a banana plant.
Oh,
yeah. So yes, if we could have worked it out, we could have an Ashay trip to the... and there's a couple of... yeah, so you can have the woman there explain to show you exactly how it grows. So banana is Adama. The reason is because even though the tree remains, but the branch that the banana grows from, which comes from the ground, dies from year to year and needs to be replanted or grows from the ground again. Craisins the plant does remain from year to year, you make ha'etz. Papaya was an exception, that it's a hadama because of the nature of that particular plant, even though it was very tall, but it resembles a vegetable so much that the minig is to make a hadama on a papaya. Okay, now, when it comes to vegetables or fruit which have been crushed, mashed, or liquefied, so the basic idea is that, and then we'll see how we apply it, but the basic idea is that it has to have some resemblance to the original fruit. So generally, if you take a fruit or a vegetable and you totally liquefy it, smash it up until it lost all resemblance, it'll lose its bracha and it'll become a shehakel. There are times that you could do that where that's not the case. It still resembles the original. And the reason is because the original itself was very soft. Like a avocado, a cooked potato that you mash up, a banana, where the fact that you mash it up and it becomes a mush is not a significant enough change from the nature of the original fruit or vegetable, because the original fruit or vegetable was also soft. So even though the original fruit or vegetable was in a different shape, you know, it was in the shape of a avocado or the shape of a potato, that's not a big enough change. You have to actually change the texture. Like when you change an apple into applesauce is a vastly different texture than an apple, right? The one's a solid, one's a liquid, it's just a whole different ballpark. Whereas a mashed avocado and a whole avocado, one's a little firmer, but it has basically the same, it's the same identity. So that's how you understand the difference between different fruits and vegetables. Why some of them you mash it up, totally loses the bracha. Some of them you mash up totally, it keeps its bracha. Like I said, avocado or banana or mashed potatoes. Any of these things, if they've been liquefied, right? So then you know, then it's gone beyond that. So then it'll be a shehakel. So if you take a potato and you're making a potato kugel. So if you grate it, so even though you've grated it into small pieces, but being that there are pieces, so it'll be adama. If you blended it, right, you know, you made that type of potato kugel where there's absolutely no identifiable pieces, it's, you know, becomes a real mush and a liquid, then it's a shehakel, which seems strange. I guess usually people don't make potato kugels like that, but there are potato kugels that are made that way. They're very, very fluffy, and there's almost no identifiable unidentifiable parts. It'll be a shackle. It'll lose its bracha.
What if you,
yeah,
like, grate them and throw away the chunks? So there's no, like...
Well, anytime you grate, there's slivers, right?
Oh, so that's...
Yeah, once there's slivers, then that's an identifiable part. Likewise with applesauce. If you make your own applesauce, even though you cook it and you cook it and you cook it, but there's still some clumps, it'll be ha'etz. What's interesting, though, is, like, let's say by strawberries. So if you blend strawberries, they still have the seeds floating around. So you can easily identify it as a strawberry mush. But that's not sufficient. The seeds aren't enough. The seeds are like, you know, you would stick in a flag that says, you know, this is strawberry. That's not enough. It has to be the fruit itself can be identified. So that's why if there are pits in your applesauce, it could still be a shehakel. Generally speaking, when you make applesauce at home, unless you use a blender, if you make applesauce at home, you use a bihayetz. It's mostly the commercial types that are shehakel because they've been so totally liquefied.
So if it's something that's commercial, does that make a difference? For example, the guacamole, if you bought store-bought guacamole.
Because you mean you're assuming they did it in a blender and they...
Well, because the Rav said for avocado, even if it's mashed, it's still haetz.
Correct.
If you bought a little tub of guacamole, that would be haetz?
Yeah, that would be the correct bracha. Uh-huh. Yeah. Sometimes what they do is, though, they do make it into sort of a liquid. But you could tell, you know, when it has other stuff mixed in.
It has little pieces in it.
Yeah, so that would be the difference. But for the most part, guacamole that you buy in the store the proper bracha will be heights. Okay, so that's the rule of thumb when it comes to changing its form. Other types of form changes, as you all know, don't change its bracha. Popping corn, stuff like that, the fact that you've, you know, totally changed its form, but you haven't done it through mashing, crushing, liquefying, blending, then it doesn't lose its bracha. So that's why popcorn is still a hadama, puffed wheat, so on and so forth. Okay, now, soups are hadama if. So basically, in every other case, you'll have to make either two brachas or shehakel. But if these four rules are met, then you'll make a hadama on your soup. So number one, you have to cook vegetables. That seems obvious, but it's not so obvious. What I'm coming to exclude is fruit. Fruit soup will always be shahakal. Fruit soup will never be haetz. This whole concept that the soup water could be a hadama, it only applies to vegetables, not to fruits. Right. So a fruit soup, if you drank the water, you would always have to make a shahakal on the water. It's only vegetables. So number one, it has to be vegetables, cooked vegetables. Number two, the intent of the soup is to include the vegetables in the soup. If you're cooking this soup with the intent to strain out the vegetables after you're done and just have the water, there also it will not be a hadama. The water will be a shahakal. Number three is really similar to number two. It has to be with the intent of that you're not planning on blending it, or at least you're not planning on blending all of it. Again, the same concept. Blending it is equivalent to taking out the vegetables, because like we said previously, you blend vegetables, they become shahakal. So if you're cooking a soup with the intent of blending it afterwards, so it's the same thing as you're intending to remove the vegetables from it. There also will be a shahakal. And lastly, there can't be any meat or chicken. Once there's meat or chicken in a soup, it's automatically shahakal. So, in order that your soup should be a hadama, and that means that the only bracha you make is hadama, no shahakal. You serve a soup, and the only bracha you make is hadama, so a good example of this would be, a vegetable soup, right, where the vegetables are floating in it, the carrots, the celery, and the zucchini is floating in the soup. So obviously you would make a hadama because it has that carrots and zucchini, but what I'm coming to say is that you don't make a shahakal at all. And the reason is, not because of ikar v'tafel, this is interesting, it's because the bracha on the water turned into hadama. There's nothing to do with ikar v'tafel, which means, even if you didn't eat the vegetables at all, right, even if you personally decided you don't want the vegetables, and you just sat there with your spoon and you just took out the soup and no vegetables, the bracha is hadama. Nothing to do with ikar v'tafel. This is a halacha of a soup halacha. So vegetable soup, as long as it's met these four qualifications, it's vegetables, and the intent is to cook vegetables. Just think vegetable soup. You know, as long as it matches the qualities of your classic vegetable soup, the actual bracha of the water is hadama. Now, there's a number of exclusions to this. The reason why you make a shahakal on ketchup, even though what it is cooked tomatoes, the reason why you make a shahakal on tomato soup is because it was cooked with the intent of blending it, right? Many cream of broccoli, etc., all those cream of soups were cooked with the intent of blending them. When they're cooked with the intent of blending them, oh, likewise, it's a shahakal. Chicken soup, even though it could have tons of vegetables, it's not going to be hadama because it has chicken. Well, chicken, that's pretty obvious, the chicken is the main thing. But many meat soups, they have lots and lots of vegetables. They can have cabbage and all the different types of things you have in them, but once it has meat, then the meat is by definition considered to be a very important ingredient. So again, there's nothing to do with ikar v'tafel. Then the water is shahakal. The water is going to be shahakal.
But you have to make a separate
brachah. You'll have to make two brachas then, right? Then you'll have to make two brachas. So now let's go through. Let's cover a couple of cases of yours. Basically, we really spoke out all these cases. We went through all these cases. I'll just say them again. So applesauce would be depending on how if it has pieces or not. Mashed avocado will almost always be ha'etz. Mashed potatoes will almost always be ha'etz. Hadama. The only exception to mashed potatoes are when you make them from a powder. Again, because that's very, once you understand the rules over here, it's very simple. Being converted into a powder, obviously, it's lost any resemblance to potatoes, so then it's a shahakal. It's interesting, though, Pringles was always thought to be a shahakal for that reason, because Pringles are not like typical potato chips where they're sliced, but they're made into a powder and then reconstituted into this form of a chip. But recently, and I see now it's printed in the Brachas books also, later on the Paiskim said that no, you do make Hadama. This is interesting, they said, because being that you reformed it, and now you've baked it in this form and it looks like it's been cut as a chip, so that's good enough. It's sort of, you revived it. or reincarnated, I should say. So it's going to come back into a potato chip. So that's the that's the cutting edge of brachas these days. You make adama on Pringles. Okay, potato kugel we discussed is it depends if it's grated or if it's ground up, whether you make adama or shahakal. It's rare that you make a shahakal on potato kugel. I'll say that. For the most part, it's almost always adama. zucchini soup or vegetable soup. Again, it'll depend on whether your plan here is to blend it or not. If your plan was to blend it, so then it's a shahakal. If your plan was not, so even though you're only eating the soup, you're only eating the water part, and your kid says, no, I don't touch the vegetables, I just want the water, they make a hadama on that water.
Sorry, I might have missed this.
Go ahead.
If you blended your soup and you took a spoon and you had a little chunk that you had missed, would it still be shahakal?
In other words, really you intended to blend it totally. Yeah. You just weren't so successful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It will be shahakal, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Depends on the intent of the person making the soup. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes people do half and half. This I'm never sure. They may cook a soup and they divide it half and half. And half they blend and half they don't.
And then you put it together.
Either you put it together or you keep it separate. So following these rules, it should be hadama in that case. The halacha is it should be hadama. Okay, and last case is barley soup. So really, we discussed this before, but it follows all the same rules. Okay, so I'll go out of order over here. I'll skip to D because even though this is a chazar, I know a lot of people didn't make this shir, so we'll go first to that, and then we'll go back to Shini Makam. Okay, so the halachas of Mezainos and Pasabab Kisnet. So the first rule we mentioned over here a little bit, and I'll just clarify it. This is really, I'm referring to when we're talking about an ingredient, or whether it's an ingredient of a soup or an ingredient of anything you're baking, and you use flour. So it has to be one of two things. So either you're adding the flour. I wrote the wrong thing here. Laseva, it really means latam. You credit to latam. It's two things, latam or laseva. If you're adding the flour for taste or for sustenance, taste being obvious, you know, you're intending to change the taste of the particular food that you're making, like an example of a cake or so on and so forth, then it's clearly going to be a mezainis. Likewise, l'soiva is a little interesting. There's not too many examples of that, but the case is where you add oats. What was you had a case?
Meatballs?
Yeah, meatballs, right. That would be a case where people add oats to meatballs, sometimes for flavor, and also sometimes just to give it more body, to not just hold it together, but to make it more geschmack. So in those two cases, it's a mezainis. You actually make a mezainis on your meatballs. Seems strange.
No matter what your intentions of putting the breadcrumbs in, or
it does matter on your intention. Whereas if your intention is just to keep it together, you know, then it's a shahakal. Like there are a number of examples of that. Licorice, the flour is added just to keep it together. Mm-hmm. So a lot of soups.
So
licorice is shahakal. A lot of soups. Another example is gefilte fish. Gefilte fish flour is added just to hold it together. The Pesach the gefilte fish falls apart. So you tell me.
So ask people how they cook their meatballs,
whether you make them that. Well, usually meatballs are eaten together with spaghetti, so that usually takes care of that problem.
Oh,
but the truth is no. Your question: should you have to make a shahakal on something? Right. I guess so. Yeah. In other words, if they added enough of the oats that it really was there to change the actual help the food, not just to hold it together, it would change the bracha. Another example, soups, right? Cream of this, cream of that. They add the flour just to make it whiter, to change the color, or to make it a little thicker. Those are all just that texture and binding and coloring. All or things that the flour does not take over. The logic behind this is that flour only takes over food if it's serving in its propensity as a food. When you're using it as an agent, whether coloring agent, binding agent, thickening agent, so then we look at it like a chemical almost. We don't look at it like a food. Then it doesn't. That's why it doesn't become a mezainis, because you're just using it as a tool. It's only when it's added for its food-like properties, taste, or sustenance, that's where it becomes the main component, and it becomes a mezainis. So that's the rule of thumb when a flour is an ingredient. It's complicated with cereals; very hard to know. And cereals, you just have to follow the book. You know, you have to get a printout because mm-hmm. it's so complicated the way they do it. There's a lot of different methods used. You know, there's something called extrusion that changes the bracha. If you notice, you know, on clicks, you know, the chocolate candy, even when it has a mezainis component, if you look at the bracha, it's always shahakal. And the reason is because it's a funny process that's used. It's not a typical process, something called extrusion. I don't understand exactly what it is, but somehow that changes the bracha. So when it comes to these strange foods, you know, follow the rules. But but when you're preparing food yourself, these are the halachas. whole grains are not going to be mezainis, meaning to say granola, puffed wheat, which means if grains only mezainis. And as a rule, the bracha of mezainis, Chazal made that bracha for something which is baked or cooked and became a baked dish or a cooked dish. A single grain which has been puffed, right, or granola, which is basically a bunch of single grains which have been roasted and then stuck together with honey, those are not considered a dish. They're considered single individual grains. They don't become a mezainis, they stay a hadama as they were before. Granola bars is a big question among the paiskim because maybe granola bars could be looked at as like a cake. So when people ask me, I say Rav Shlomo Miller, the Rav who was my Rebbe in the Beis Era, the Rav of Toronto, he paskin that that's a mezainis and al michya, but otherwise, if you eat individual granola or you eat puffed wheat cereal, it's a hadama. And a bar nefashis. Okay, now pasuk b'kisnin. So let's just define what pasuk b'kisnin is, and then we'll go through the cases. The definition of pasuk b'kisnin we discussed last week. The definition of pasuk b'kisnin is pas, which comes together with kisnin. Kisnin was like nowadays we would serve after dinner mints after a meal. So they used to serve kisnin, which was like some sort of puffed grain, something to that effect. And then together with it, they would serve little, what are they called, petaphors, right? That was pasuk b'kisnin. Pasuk b'kisnin were these petaphors served in the end of a meal together with their after-dinner mints. So the definition of pasuk b'kisnin is pas, even though it's bread, even though it's been baked, but it's a dessert. Now, how do we qualify that bread is a dessert? So there's one of three qualifications. Any one of these three makes it into a mezainis. Number one, it's a dough that's filled with a dessert-style filling. For example, kakash cake, the dough of kakash cake, as I've come to learn, is the exact same thing as challah dough. Mm-hmm. Exact same thing, right? Baked the same way, you're eating a piece of challah, just it's been filled with cocoa and sugar. So that's why it's mezainis. So it's filled with a dessert-style filling, it's going to be mezainis. Number two, the dough itself is sweet. And over here, sweet means sweet enough to taste sweet. So they, you know, it's not so common, but you have croissants, even though I think croissants are fried, but if they're baked, you know, where the dough really tastes very different because it's so oily. We had last week also flaky dough, right? Flaky dough has been, there's so much margarine over there. Mr. Shore was explaining to us it really should be shahakal. So if it's the dough has and you added stuff to the dough that changed the flavor of the dough, it's going to be also pasuk b'kisnin, it'll be mezainis. And likewise, number three is if it has like a cracker-like texture, which is it's hard, not necessarily thin, but it's hard like a cracker, where technically a matzah, the minig of Sfardim, is to make the whole year a mezainis on it for that reason.
Except for Pesach,
right? It's considered pasuk b'kisnin. So that's the rules. So let's think of a bunch of examples, and then we'll go to a few exceptions. So let's go. We'll start with the first one. Filled with dessert size style filling. So we said already, kakash cake, apple pies, all those things are going to be a mezainis. Sweet dough, like we said, croissants. Pastry dough, etc. Those are all going to be mezainis. Cracker-like texture. This is where it gets a little tricky. There's a number of things that are included in this. Melba toasts, croutons, bread-like croutons, matzah crackers. What else do we have?
Bagel chips,
all those. But what's interesting about bagel chips and pita chips and things like that It's only if it was never truly bread, which means that when it was made, it's only really by commercially made items. When it was made commercially, it was made originally, they baked it, and then they baked it, and baked it, and baked it, until it became chips. If you buy a regular bagel, which was a hamaitzi, the fact that you toast it will not change it. Mm-hmm. Once it's a hamaitzi, it stays a hamaitzi. Once it's been made once into a hamaitzi, it will not lose its bracha.
So the pizza chips, the homemade.
If you make homemade pizza chips, right. So if you go eat by someone, you have to ask them, or you probably could tell if it's homemade or not. But if it's not, if it's a homemade thing, or homemade bread croutons will be hamaitzi. It's only when it's the type you buy in the store that was originally made for that purpose that it'll be a mezainis. What now, as far as exceptions go, there are a couple of exceptions. First of all, what you okay, before we go on to pizza and mezonos rolls, if something is cooked, hasn't been baked, or has been fried, it's not pas at all. That's a regular mezonos. Macaroni, lasagna, chow mein noodles, donuts, all those have never been baked. So those are not pas because they're not pas, they're mezonos. Because it's like oatmeal, you know, it's cooked or baked flour ingredients, but it's not pas. Pas needs to be baked. Now, what's the difference if it's pas or pas lovekisnen or macaroni? I mean, mezainis is mezainis and it's still mezainis. Now, here, this is the key. The difference is that pas lovekisnen has this quality that it is a quasi pas. It's bread because it is dough, but it's not because it's a dessert. Whenever you switch it from a dessert into a main course, it turns back into bread. And that can happen in a number of ways. Number one, it becomes your main course, right? So if you have a pas haba bekisnen, but that's your main course, then it's going to be bread, and it'll turn into bread. Now, usually that's unusual. With the cases we talked about, that's an unusual thing. You don't usually sit down to a supper of a Danish. I mean, if you do, it's because it's in lieu of eating supper. It's not your actual supper. It's instead of eating breakfast that you're getting away with a Danish. So that's very rare. The way it does become relevant is in one of two cases. Either you go on a real Danish eating binge, and you eat a lot of Danishes. So, I mean, according to Rabbi Bodner, it would be like 3 Danishes or so.
Oh boy.
Right, something like that. So,
big one.
Yeah, right. So if you eat like a lot of Danishes, so once there's a sufficient amount, you know, if you survive it, then you would have to bench. You have to wash, bench, everything, like bread. The regular halacha like bread. But again, that's not that common. I don't know, I should speak for myself. Yeah. People ask with cereal, like if you add, you know, Cheerios is considered Passover bekisnen. So I ate 3 or 4 bowls. So, so the truth is, let's see, it would be a lot. Even though, you know, typically if you fill up a bowl of cereal, that's about a cup, you know, one measuring cup worth of cereal of Cheerios.
A small
bowl. Well, that's right. A small bowl. Okay, it could be even
more like
a cup and a half.
Cup and a half.
So I think it was a quarter cup as a kazayas. So one a full cup is 4 kazesim is 2 bayim. So it's not clear exactly. You're supposed to stay away from more than 4 bayim. At that point, it becomes a suffix. But at the point where you're for sure going to have to wash, it would have to be a really really significant amount, like 10 bayim worth. Also unlikely you can eat enough cereal to be a problem. The place where it really becomes relevant is when you're eating other things, mm-hmm. and you're eating the pas lovekisnen like crackers in the place of bread, because then you can eat much less and still have to wash. Mm-hmm. For example, let's say in your typical lunch, you would eat, let's say, 2 slices of bread together with your tuna fish or liver or whatever else is you're eating, right? Now, 2 slices of bread, half a slice of bread is a kazayas. So you're eating 2 slices, that's 4 kazesim, right? So once you eat the equivalent of 4 kazesim of something else serving as a bread, you would have to wash and bench the works. So I'm eating tuna fish, you're eating a can of tuna, and you're eating crackers, mm-hmm. right? So if you eat crackers that are the equivalent of 2 slices of bread, or if you eat 1 slice, then even 1 slice, really it's subjective. You know, however much bread you would eat, you would eat 1 slice, then it's 1 slice. If you eat one sheet of matzah, it's 1 sheet of matzah. And that's not that many crackers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
by weight or by size?
It's volume. Actually, how much space it takes up. So if I remember correctly, crackers, it was four?
What's a kazayas?
How many snack crackers?
I think. More like
8?
I don't think so.
That,
I think, yeah, it was less. It wasn't so much. Yeah, I'm four.
Let's check that out.
I wrote it down last time. Whatever it was something like 4 or 5 crackers.
Yeah.
Is 4 or 5 crackers is a kazayas. So if we're talking 2, well, yeah, it's 4. That's what it was. 4 crackers, 4 snack crackers. So if we're talking 2 slices of bread, so that would be 12 to 16 crackers. It's not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a half roll. It's half one of those rolls.
Mm-hmm.
That's of snack crackers. Other things, it's less than that. Like flatbreads, 1 3/4
is a
kazayas.
Mm-hmm.
So 4, if you're eating 4 or 5 snack flatbreads, those are also more filling.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need that much for it to be in place of a slice or a slice and a half of bread. So you're eating 5 or 6 of those flatbreads, and you're eating your whole meal, you have to wash. Basically, you defeated the purpose. So I've just made a free advertisement for rice cakes,
right.
And and other things. You know, that's I think what we're going to have to all move over to.
Or Weight Watchers.
Yeah.
Like that one serving.
Right, right, right. If you stick to your servings,
mm-hmm.
you have another reason to. Or you could wash. You could just do that. That helps too.
You really could wash on this? On
you could. You not. You could. You have to. You have to wash, hamaitzi, and bench. That works.
Wow.
Not only that, but if you realize in middle that you're going to be eating that much,
yeah,
you have to stop, wash, hamaitzi, and bench.
You have to make,
yeah.
make mifia, and then
correct,
wash.
If you've eaten enough already, yeah.
Even if what you're going to eat after you're washing is not the
so
same.
So no, that's where it gets funny.
Again.
Then you have to eat more.
Yeah,
like I said,
rice cakes
it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that only if you're eating it instead of bread, or what if you're eating crackers for the sake of eating crackers?
Okay, so that's a good question. I'll give you another example.
Like a snack.
Let's say even more extreme than that. Let's say you go to a chasana, right? And you see, you already decided I'm not washing my chasana, right? So you sit down and you eat the soup, the meat, and then you go to eat dessert, and you eat cake, right? And the cake you eat was equivalent to the amount of bread you would eat. So what's interesting is Moshe Feinstein holds you have to bench because of that. But everybody disagrees because of what you're saying. We only hold when it's taking the place of the bread of your meal. You're eating it as the bread of your meal. If it's just a dessert, then it doesn't have that. It doesn't have that power.
Would it be cake even if it's not passable kind of cake, like just regular chocolate cake.
It is regular chocolate cake is passable v'kisnin. The only exception to passable v'kisnin is if it's cooked. As long as it's baked, even though it starts off as a batter. That's what you're asking, I imagine, because it starts off as a batter. It doesn't make a difference. As long as it ends up
baked mizonos,
right,
is
proper baked goods, it's
right.
going to be passable v'kisnin.
Because here,
v'kisnin,
it just is like the sweet dough. It doesn't seem
right,
like
right,
kind of cake.
Right, batters are they have the same halacha.
Wow.
Okay,